Welcome to WonderPod, episode 9. You know who I am. I'm joined this week, as always, by Gensage.
Yes.
Fucker. give me dead air, you prick. Also joined this week, as usual, by poor Patrick.
Woo! WonderPod 9! What's up, everybody?
Yeah! You can't give up the Canadian Ric Flair thing now after I pretty much called you out last week.
Let's do a high five with our penises.
Nice. Again?
You're giving away our pre-show rituals. We can't tell the listeners about that. Internet penis high five. It can be done if you have a web camera. Anyway, Gunsage, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I'm not going to go ahead and mention all of them because I don't, you know, want this to be the all-me show. But,
you bastard.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot of PlayStation 1 games. Went back and pretty much all day today I've been playing older Nintendo games and checking out different PC adventure games and stuff. And nothing specific, nothing that, you know, whatever, but fun stuff.
Patrick, I was teasing you, Gunsage. I was kidding about the 4-hour thing. You don't have to be
Do you want me to list them? I can list them.
Well, do one or two specifically, dude. I was just teasing.
Okay.
Jesus.
Today I beat Mega Man 6 and Shivers and Codename Iceman, and those are the ones that I beat today anyway, but I've been playing a lot more, like Vagrant Story and a couple of other things, so, yeah.
What's Shivers?
Exactly.
It's kind of a, it's an adventure game by Sierra, first person, but it's kind of like, it's supposed to be scary, but it's really not. It's one of those older, like, not entirely FMV-based games by Sierra, but kinda sorta. They still managed to keep it down to one disc, though, which was kinda cool.
Oh, I remember when Sierra got big into those movie game thingamajigs, yeah.
Oh, dude, I went through Phantasmagoria also. That's a 7-disc game.
I remember that.
And the only reason it's 7 discs is because everywhere you go, everything you do is a fucking movie. It's so ridiculously shitty. Especially because I'm playing it and it's okay for the most part, but then there's some dialogue that I'm like, really? Nobody has ever talked like that ever. Like, there's one part where you're talking to this one woman, you're like, well, I don't know if I should. Oh, fiddle. Oh, fiddle.
Fiddlesticks.
Well, I mean, I could understand if it was supposed to be King's Quest, but this was something that was supposed to be based in the 1980s. I'm like, oh, fiddle. And it's a mature rated game too. There's blood and rape and all kinds of shit in it. Yep, and fiddling apparently.
Well, now if she said "oh diddle," like you kind of understand that.
All the rape scenes, the most hilarious rape scene ever. I'm gonna have to highlight that.
Make it into a movie and post it.
Well, I told you on, well, I don't know. I don't know if you've been to the forums recently, but one of my new ideas there was proud moments in FMV gaming.
Ooh, I like that.
And I want to highlight Phantasmagoria first and actually have the rape scene as the final scene because it's hilariously awful.
Nothing says traffic like rape on the front page. I like it.
Well, I thought originally whenever I had seen it a couple of years ago, I was like, okay, they had rough sex, whatever. They did it through their clothes somehow, so I guess they're telepathetic.
Telepathetic?
Yeah, but then I went ahead and I saw some comments on YouTube, and one dude actually had to take down a video because contained strong rape scenes. So it took me a while to find it because I was going through the Let's Play on it, and I watched it and I was like, okay, that still wasn't rape. That's really retarded.
So you've been old schooling it this week, basically.
Yeah. More or less.
Patrick, how about you? I know the one you've been playing, but...
Well, all right. Last week, I talked about getting my hands on Batman Arkham Asylum on the 360, and I was early in, and I was going to talk about it more this episode. Well, I actually didn't even get a chance to play it, so I guess Batman's going to have to wait another week, for another week or two. The reason why I didn't play Batman is because I bought not one, but two new games this week.
Oh, nice.
So I'll talk about the big one, I guess, Battlefield Bad Company 2, and I'll also talk about Sonic and Sega All-Star Racing, which I also picked up there earlier in the week. I guess I'll talk about Battlefield Bad Company first. It's a pretty big release this week, obviously. A lot of people seem to be playing it, not as many as Call of Duty when it came out, but, you know, they're talking about it. They're discussing about it, I don't know. A lot of people, like we're gonna talk about later, are bitching about review scores, but I'll save that till later. Pretty early into the game, and I've only played a few multiplayer matches and a little bit of the single player, not too far in, but I already really like the title. I mean, the destructible environments in the game using DICE's fancy-wancy engine. I don't know, do you guys remember what that engine's called?
Frostbite?
Yeah, there you go. It's pretty cool. I mean, not only can I shoot people like every other first-person shooter in the face and in the balls, but I can also blow up almost everything in front of me. It's pretty cool. It adds something different to the game that, say, Call of Duty didn't have, because a lot of the environments in Call of Duty were pretty static. You couldn't blow a hole in a wall and make your own door or anything like that. So there's much fun to be had blowing the shit out of buildings and houses and people. So I'm enjoying this blowing up business pretty good.
I was just going to say, since it was made by DICE, I heard you could also go ahead and run up walls and shit.
That'd be awesome to have that at the... But not shooting. That was the whole point of that one, wasn't it? To not...
Yep. Yeah.
single player is pretty fun, at least from what I played thus far, but I am pretty early into it. I don't think, you know, there's going to obviously be comparisons between Call of Duty and this. And in single player mode, I don't think it's as fun so far as Call of Duty's. It doesn't have the same pacing that Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 has, or story, and for me personally, the characters, I mean, I don't give a crap about these guys. They are actually kind of lame douchebags, really. I don't know. Bruce, what do you think? You played the first one. What do you think about the characters in the game? They're the same characters, so... Or does it matter to you?
It felt generic. I'm really leery of sitting here and comparing it to every other FPS known to man, you know, but it was good, but not over the top excellent. It didn't suck me in the way some others have. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's so far, it's fun, but, and you know, blowing shit up is cool, but yeah, I prefer the other one that came out reasonably recently. But of course everybody's not mentioning any Call of Duty names. But, the multiplayer mode is really where it's at, Battlefield Bad Company 2. And I really have been enjoying the classic Battlefield Online mode that's in the game. It wasn't in the demo, and now I've been playing it in the game. It's pretty much the same mode that is present in the Xbox Live Arcade Battlefield 1943 that I know the three of us plus more have played, only now it's in modern settings, of course, and all sorts of fun vehicles to control, which really sets this game apart from that other game. The vehicles are good. There's helicopters and tanks, and there's rivers you can go down, and sea-doos, as they're called, and there's all sorts of interesting vehicles. So that mode's pretty fun. There's also a four-squad deathmatch mode with four teams of four people. Basically, you go around killing everyone. It's a basic deathmatch mode. I haven't tried this yet, but it sounds good. I'm hoping that I can get a larger group of friends in a party before I give this a try. I'm definitely having a harder time finding people to play with, you know, in a big party than I was with, Call of Duty. But, so I got a question for both you gentlemen. Do you guys plan on buying, renting, used, anything? Do you got any interest in this title?
Guns Age, go first.
Well, I might rent it. I mean, it doesn't seem to really have the pull that Modern Warfare 2 did. So, and I didn't really play the first one either. So, you know, I don't know. I'm sure it's pretty fun. I didn't really even play the first one, so I don't know.
I will pick it up. As you know, I'm waiting on Juan Valdez and his donkey to get a data transfer cable to me. And I've been a little leery of putting anything on my hard drive until I get the old hard drive copied over. But, you know, to be honest, it's really funny because it was actually kind of cool that I didn't get it on release day for this reason. I'm really not that disappointed that I'm not in there yet. I'm not 100% sure what it is. I know it's going to be a good game. I know it's going to be excellent, but at the same time, I'm just not as sucked into it, I guess. You know, I know I'll play it. I know I'll eventually play it, but...
Yeah, well, it definitely seems like it doesn't have that ultra popularity that Modern Warfare 2 had. Like, literally, there were two people, including myself, playing the game yesterday, whereas a couple days into the release of Call of Duty, I'd have 10 people online, and 7 or 8 of them would be playing Call of Duty, so... Doesn't seem to be quite as popular as that other game compared to.
And the other thing is Call of Duty was released close to a weekend, if I recall correctly. This has been released in the middle of the week. I'll withhold judgment on how many people are going to end up playing it and how well it's going to do until this weekend and see what happens then. If I see more of my friends list and things like that. And I hope it does well. There's room in the marketplace for it, you know, and the explodey buildings are something that is really cool. And I'm glad DICE put it together with their Frostbite engine. But, you know, we'll just see. Time's going to tell. I'm sure once we get into it, we'll have the same amount of fun, you know, we always have.
I'm enjoying it, and I'm glad I got it. It's a good game, but you know, definitely worth checking out if you guys have the time or whatever.
So Sonic Racing Tag Team Kart thing, is it fun?
Well, it is, actually.
That's its code name. That was its code name when it was being developed.
Official name, I believe, Sonic and Sega All-Star Racing. And on the 360, it also features Banjo and Kazooie. It's a pretty darn fun game, really. And, you know, for me, it's a great contrast to most of my Xbox 360 titles, filled with death and war and desolation. You know, I talked about the demo on a previous episode of WonderPod a little while back, so I decided to give the full version a go this week, and I'm really enjoying it. You know, it's bright, colorful, cartoony graphics, it's got arcade-like music, it's a nice change of pace from all my shooters. Everyone knows what this game is like, right? I mean, you don't have to ask, really. It's freaking Mario Kart. And not only is it Mario Kart, it really, really is Mario Kart. You know,
no, it's Sonic Kart.
That's right. The only thing missing is some plumber with a fucking hat. That's all that's missing. But, I mean, that's okay. If you're going to copy a cute, fun kart racing game, better copy, you know, the best one that's out there, so why not?
Exactly.
You know, the tracks are pretty fun. I think, don't quote me on this, but I think there's 24 different tracks. You have to unlock them. I've unlocked probably two-thirds of them. And there's a lot of characters to unlock and music and stuff like that. I find myself, even with all the other characters, really just playing with three racers, you know. Banjo and Kazooie is probably my favorite. Sonic, and of course you can use your own avatar, so... That's always fun, with all my avatar's many fashion trends. So, as I waste money.
His current no-neck one is my favorite.
Yeah. My Star Wars one.
It was just weird seeing that. Like, he has no neck.
Yeah, it's a little weird, but Star Wars, I gotta buy it. I hate it. I don't know what George Lucas put in my cereal, but it works.
Crack.
But, yeah. Player mode with this game is, I mean, it's fun. It's got your time trials, your leaderboards, all that regular stuff. Online multiplayer is pretty darn smooth. So, and you don't have to necessarily find 8 players for it to begin. You can play with bots. So there's an option to play with just your friends. So if 2 or 3 of your friends or 1 of your friend is online, you don't have to play with anyone else. You can play the 2 of you online with 6 or 7 bots if you wanted to. So that's not bad. I recommend this title really for anyone who likes, surprise, surprise, Mario Kart and, you know, wants to take it to the next level with real generation visuals, HD, and most importantly, hassle-free online gameplay. No stupid console codes, and even more stupid friend codes for every single person you want to play with. Thank God. I'll have to finish the online part by saying Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Hey, you can reach Patrick Care of our forums if you want to bitch at him about his anti-Nintendo. The two things you said there that makes me more interested for this game now is it's smooth online, because remember, even you were a little worried it was going to be a lag fest.
Yeah.
and the fact that you can race against bots. Like, if just you and I were online, or just you and I in Gunsage, you could have the three of us and five bots, or whatever. Yep. I like that. It goes well with my anti-people, except the people I like theory in life. Kind of thing. This week, I have played nothing but Torchlight on Steam. Torchlight is basically Diablo's Darksiders, if that makes any sense whatsoever. But what's funny about it, and you said it, Patrick, and you beat me to it, but at the same time it was brilliant, was it's such a contrast to everything else I normally play, and it's just fun, that I'm having a blast with it. I've played it for the last five nights in a row, and it's been one of those games where, like the other night, I started playing it at 8:30. I'm like, oh, I'm going to play for a half an hour before I go to bed. I looked over at my clock, and it said 10:30, and I don't know where it went. I don't know where the time went. I mean, I was having that much fun. But it does borrow a lot of concepts from Diablo. I mean, there is no two ways about that. It's a lot like Darksiders and that, but here's the thing. They borrow a lot of good concepts from Diablo. But on top of that, it's got its own graphical package, and it's added enough to it that I'll be pretty much hooked on this game for quite a while. If you don't mind the fact that it borrows those mechanics, it's been on Steam at times. I paid $20 for it and feel I got every dollar out of it already. And I haven't even beaten the game yet. If you see it when they jump it on sale for like $10, I definitely recommend it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so worth it. Runic Games did a good job with it, and I wish I'd picked it up at Christmas when it was like $10. I put it off because I had a bunch of other stuff to play, so.
This is a reasonably new game, or has it been out for
a
while?
No, it was released in November, I think, or December of 2009.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty much a dungeon brawler. There's not really, like, you know, I know you're not a big RPG fan, Patrick.
Right.
But I could see you having fun with this, because it's pretty much just hack and slash.
I could do that.
I mean, you have quests and stuff, but it's pretty self-explanatory and it's pretty hard to get lost. And the nice thing is for the first probably 9 or 10 levels, you know, each dungeon is a level that you're going down.
Right.
Probably for the first 9 or 10 levels, the enemies are weak enough that you don't ever get in a situation where you get like pissed off, frustrated. You know, you're dying every 10 seconds.
Right.
After playing it for 4 or 5 days, I'm only now getting to the point where the enemies are just almost as good as I am.
Huh?
And it paced it just about right, you know. And like I said, you got all these side dungeons and stuff. And it's really pretty easy. I mean, you if you're not familiar with the mechanic of Diablo, you have town portal scrolls where you can go right back to town. You know, you get bored or don't want to be in a dungeon or want to go do a side dungeon. And all the side dungeons, for the most part, you go through a portal to get to them. You can't get lost, and you basically end at a portal. It takes you right back to the town and the guy that gave you the quest in the first place.
Cool.
So it's, I mean, if you like the hack and slash elements and upgradable elements, you know, you can upgrade your armor, do all these different things. There's a demo on Steam. I mean, even for a non-RPG hit, I could see somebody like that having a good time with it.
Cool.
So let's go to the news. In case you have been under a rock, the big news in the industry this week is the development studio Infinity Ward has been, how shall we say, shaken, not stirred, by their less than benevolent overlord, Activision, and its CEO, Bobby Kotick. The basic storyline, for those of you that have not been reading the blog, 2 days ago, a report popped out that there was security at Infinity Ward Studios. Oh, noes. So then those of us in the blog viewing audience waited and waited and waited. And then it came out that two founders of the company, Jason West and Vince Zampella, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong, had been fired due to breach of contract. Then it got even nuttier with reports coming out claiming that the reason they were fired for breach of contract is they might have been speaking with other publishers in regards to the Call of Duty franchise. On top of that, reports started to surface that maybe the IW guys hadn't been paid for royalties or a bonus. We'll get into those terms in a little bit, because there's some misunderstanding about that. Basically, bottom line was, is they hadn't been paid. Infinity Ward and Activision's relationship does not seem like it's been going too well. And just tonight, before we started recording, it now appears that the two former members of Infinity Ward, Zampella and West are suing Activision for wrongful termination, breach of contract, breach of implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing, and declaratory relief. Basically, their claims are that they got shit-canned before the bonuses were due, or royalties, depending on if you're Michael Pratchett or a normal human. The whole story has gone to the courts now. Zampella and West are claiming this. Meanwhile, Activision is saying they are disappointed. G4 TV managed to get their hands on an internal legal document. It seems that Activision will defend this lawsuit looking for any documents regarding past or current or future Infinity Ward projects, including but not limited to any and all business analyzing of future projects, basically Modern Warfare 3, documents regarding any potential spin out of IW, including but not limited to any communications with IW employees, West or Zampella regarding forming a new studio independent of Activision. Remember that. That is, I think, a key. Documents regarding West and Zampella's communications with Activision competitors, including but not limited to Electronic Arts, which is secretly ironic if you know the story. When you boil this all down, here's what happened. Somebody shit in somebody else's Cheerios. These two guys got fired over it because Activision has decided that they're going to do what they damn well please with the Call of Duty franchise. And now we have shit tons of unnamed sources, which really isn't surprising. It isn't the best case scenario, but it isn't surprising considering it's the games industry. Throwing around all sorts of claims, but it sounds like to me it came down to money not being paid and other things that we're probably never going to know the whole story behind. What I find so interesting about this personally myself, as far as the shakeup at Infinity Ward goes, is both of these gentlemen, West and Zampella, were former members of the Studio 2015. Now, for those of you Web 2.0 kiddies that weren't around way back in the 90s, God help us all, 2015 was the original developer for the Medal of Honor series, and after completing a few of those games for EA, West and Zampella and quite a few other guys left 2015 and formed Infinity Ward and then started the Call of Duty franchise. Now, when this story first broke, and it's being confirmed in my mind by this lawsuit, my instant reaction was, okay, fine. This just means to me that as soon as their NDAs and no compete clauses are up, these two guys are going to form another studio, and even if it's not Call of Duty, they're going to come up with another shooter franchise, and it's probably going to be a good one. The early Medal of Honors were good. Most of the Call of Duties were good. I have a feeling this isn't the last we're going to hear them. Now, that was my initial take long before this lawsuit thing popped to the surface. Now that this lawsuit thing has popped to the surface, I really think that's where this was heading. And Activision is doing everything in its power to stop it because they know how screwed they are if they these guys get away independent of them. Gentlemen, thoughts, corrections, anything you'd like to add to the first part of this story, the whole firing mess and rumors and so on? Patrick, why don't you go first?
May not be 100% with this, but this is basically my take of at least the initial things that's going on. This basically, Activision has made a ridiculous amount of money off the record-breaking sales of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, right? I mean, Activision didn't actually make the game. They didn't work all day and all night to meet deadline. They didn't program the engines. They didn't beta test. They didn't compose the music. Okay, you guys are getting the point. All Activision really did was at the end of the game's development, they promoted the title and they published the title. Now, those are big jobs, but they didn't physically make the game, right? Infinity Ward was paid, and I'm pretty sure very well paid, depending on where you are in the, pecking order of Infinity Ward, to make this great title. They were paid well, and everybody enjoyed it, but Activision seemed to be really the ones that are taking in the majority of the profit. So I don't blame Infinity Ward for looking at other publishers. There was one article I read that said they were either caught or was rumored that the Infinity Ward honchos were actually in meetings with other big name publishers. So, and I mean, I think it comes down to, like you said, money, and that Infinity Ward deserves these royalties that they haven't received. And it's probably something to do with, you know, some sort of contract where they were paid to make the game and now they don't necessarily get all of the royalties, you know? I think Activision might be very greedy and almost unfair, even though I'm sure they're, you know, they gave Infinity Ward what they were contractually obligated to pay them. But, you know, the big shots at Infinity Ward were pissed off about not getting any more royalties, even though this game has been huge and it made Activision so much money. So I think they just looked to other publishers, and that's how it was almost a power struggle, and that's how they got fired. You know, I don't know. I think it's going to bite Activision in the ass in the long run.
Gunsage, same thing. You got any thoughts on this, or the whole hilarity of it, or how it's the gaming industry is a giant grinding rumor mill at this point?
Well, without any more knowledge than what we've already received, one can speculate many things. We can say that they, you know, got really drunk and took a shit on the copier, or some crazy stuff like that. But I don't know. I mean, honestly, if you take it from the perspective of, okay, these motherfuckers need paid, obviously I feel bad for them because they worked on the project. They are the ones that did the project. Activision was like, yeah, put our names on that. Why? What did you do? Well, I worked on it with you. It's almost like that one Family Guy scene with fucking Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. it's like, well, could you write one line? One line. Okay, does that count? Well, the way you had phrased it as far as, you know, people getting their butts hurt and not getting paid enough and so on and so forth, and, you know, well-established company, been doing all kinds of great things, the first thing that popped in my head was Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that, too.
So, I don't know. I mean, as we get more information, what information we get, you know, how drained and distilled it might be, we'll probably see more, but they need paid. That's the bottom line. I think they do need paid. I think it's bullshit if everything is true what's been reported so far, but they couldn't take a shit in Carpier. They could have.
Okay, we just had the news that Activision wants to turn this into a yearly franchise. And then we have the news that, that Treyarch's doing the next one, but they want to turn it into a yearly franchise, which usually Infinity Ward likes to take a two-year cycle to produce these. When this broke, it did not surprise me at all, because I think Infinity Ward saw the handwriting on the wall. If you just count them purely numerically, there's been 6 Call of Duties between both studios. 4 total from Infinity Ward and 2 from Treyarch. It's getting pretty late in the series. Once Activision announced that, I think the fan got started and the poop was thrown at it. I mean, I think that was basically the last straw. I think IW saw what was coming and they started making moves. And to be honest, my speculation is pure out of my ass guess. I'm not going to deny it. Is these two guys that got fired saw what was coming and pulled whatever shenanigans they had to try and get out of it, out of their contract quickly, which is a little less likely now with this lawsuit. But I tell you what, I think bottom line is going to be, it may be a year or two, but I think these guys are going to be back with another studio. And as Patrick said, Activision is really going to be sorry they did this. Do you think maybe that sped up the process? The whole, we're going to now turn this into a yearly Tony Hawk Horde All franchise. Do you think maybe that got some wheels turning over at Infinity Ward after that news broke, Patrick?
I would say, yeah, it might have been the feather that broke the camel's back, so to speak. I mean, they're pissed about not getting the amount of, you know, proportional amount of money in royalties, considering how popular the game is, or ultra popular the game is, and then they're going to be pushing Infinity Ward to make, you know, work harder and harder, but they've just seen that their hard work didn't get rewarded properly this time. So obviously, that was kind of like wait a minute, you guys didn't pay us for all the hard work, or didn't give us a bonus for all the hard work we did last game, and now you're telling us you want us to work even harder for the next game? So yeah, I think that was definitely a catalyst.
Gunsage, do you agree with that, or do you have a different take?
Ultimately, I think, as much as I don't like how long it takes Blizzard to go ahead and come out with shit, Infinity Ward is following good suit upon normal practices by going ahead and getting it done when it's fucking done, you know? So I don't think in every year thing would be good, unless in fact they have the budget for it, which means they also need the manpower for it, which I don't think they would be doing. So I don't know.
Okay, there's a couple little loose ends, and then I to this story that kind of caught my eye or while I was researching it for this week's show. First off, were several unnamed, and by unnamed, I mean I don't want to give them the time of day or the publicity to our dozen listeners, blogs, bitched, pissed, and moaned about these unnamed sources in these in the early stories. Now, while I admit, unnamed sources are never my favorite thing to read. It's like, well, take a look around, people. Unnamed sources are everywhere these days. Everybody is so afraid of getting their ass shit-canned for talking to the press. And to my mind, it's the worst in the gaming industry, as hack and slash as it can be, that I wasn't shocked at all that we saw all these unnamed sources. Does that mean that they were, at the end of the day, valid? I don't know, because it hasn't been all boiled down yet, and we haven't gotten a clear enough picture. But still, you're not going to convince me for a second that the only reason these blogs did this was to just generate more traffic. I mean, I'll give them a point for originality, but when you have Infinity Ward in every third sentence and then bitching about the unnamed sources aspect and how non-journalistic it is, well, you know, if you wanted to be truly full of journalistic integrity, you would have avoided the story altogether if it's an unnamed source, you know. But no, you found an angle, so you're cooler. Yeah, piss off. On that little loose end, agree, disagree, care. Shall I move on to my other one?
I don't want to give any of these blogs too much credit, so we might as well move on, if that's okay with you.
Okay, Gunsage, feel the same way?
Yes. I mean, is it really that big of a deal? I mean, unless it's a completely irreputable source, that would be one thing. But for the most part, it's like, okay, they're an unnamed source. Is it really that big of a deal? Unless it's like Bob from the fucking pizza shack that has no right commenting on video games beyond, I like Super Mario 3, you know? I mean, or Halo. But, I mean, beyond that, I mean, I don't know. If they have information, they have information. Obviously, going ahead and being an openly credible source would be better, but yeah, especially if they're, you know, within the industry and, you know, they know that their boss is checking up on every little thing, especially on blogs and things of that nature, obviously they would not want to be known. It'd be like, you know, whenever I was working for my former company, if I was like, oh yeah, this other company's totally that much better. All right, we need to talk to you later.
Well, and that's, yeah, no, that's a valid point. And on top of that, I don't think, you know, some of these idiots bitching don't give their readers enough credit. As a reader myself, I don't give it as much weight when it says unnamed source as I do when it's so-and-so from Butthole Development Studios. I'm smart enough to realize that. I just thought it was kind of a cheap move on some of these guys' part and just muddying up the waters of an already coffee-muddied story. The other thing I want to complain about just a little bit real quick was the famous analyst and predictor extraordinaire of video games, Michael Pratchett, decided to stick his nose in it. And basically his first comment, he wouldn't like you very much, Patrick. His first bitch was the fact that they're not royalties. It's bonuses. Whatever. They haven't been paid bonuses and binge gamers should go to hell. Nah, 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 nah. And I'm like, I'm
it's
sitting there.
It's
money. Yeah. Exactly. I think we got the fact that it was about unpaid money.
You get paid for services rendered.
My bigger complaint was, okay, we understand. I totally understand and respect the fact that Pratchett understands business and understands the mechanics of business and this and that. But to sit there and start calling out people as financially ill-informed or not financially smart, something, I don't know. I'm too lazy to even look up what he said. But he basically called them fucking morons. Just using pretty $5 words that financial analysts like to use. Hey, look, I'll give the guy all the credit in the world for being a good financial analyst, but stick to your day job, dude. I don't need to hear you fucking taking people to task for this, that, and the other thing, especially when it's on something that's, they basically used the wrong word. Ooh, they used royalties instead of bonus. Yes, it's a different concept, but it's like Gunsage said, money not paid. We unhappy. I mean, it's a fucking simple concept. We got it, you know, so. Okay, rant over about some of the stupidity I saw during the Infinity Ward mess. Now, the last thing I want to discuss about this story, then we can put it to bed, probably until next week when more hilarity happens. With all of this and the announcement this week of an action-adventure Call of Duty to be done by Sledgehammer Games, which Sledgehammer Games' claim to fame is they have the director that did Dead Space, whose name is
Dead Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Michael Condrey. Michael Condrey. This, to me, between the fact that Activision wants to take it to yearly, now they're talking about doing an action-adventure version of the series. To my mind, the Call of Duty series is done. It has had 6 games, 4 of which were really good, all the ones done by Infinity Ward. 2 of which were, 3 sucked. 5 was tolerable. I think we're pretty much seeing it Tony Hawk here. I think you're pretty much going to see the COD franchise go right in the toilet. And to be quite honest, it hasn't had a bad run. Patrick, agree or disagree?
Wow. What's that sound I hear? That's the sound of a greedy ass company milking the shit out of a franchise. I mean, so basically what they want is 3 separate development studios making 3 Call of Duty games. So, I mean, I can't help but think that most gamers are going to be tired, if they're not already, of the Call of Duty brand sooner rather than later. I don't even know a lot about these Sledgehammer guys and what exactly they're going to do, but I don't think we need any more Call of Duty titles. I mean, just like you said, it's getting kind of out of hand. You know, do we need any more of these titles than we have, 1 a year? I mean, the answer here, people, is no, we don't.
Guns Age.
Yeah, we do. We need Modern Warfare 3, Modern Warfare-er.
You'd be shitting a kitten in glee if they said Sledgehammer was doing a COD RPG. Don't lie to me.
Oh, I'm just all over RPGs in general.
I know, that's why I said it. Yeah. No, do you think this is pretty much the death call or the moo, as Patrick said?
Well, ultimately what it comes down to for me is I liked Call of Duty 4. I haven't bought it yet. I liked Modern Warfare 2. It was pretty fun, but the only reason I bought that one is because everyone else is playing it. Beyond that, I don't give a damn. I never really hopped on the Call of Duty train. I never really hopped on the Medal of Honor train. And after I played Return to Wolfenstein, I was like, okay, so I've played enough World War II games. I'm good.
Dear God, that wasn't even the beginning of them.
Exactly. Well, I liked the new Wolfenstein. It was pretty fun. But then I also tried Velvet Assassin, and that was a pile of horse shit. So, and the worst part about that was one of those alternate histories things, so I thought it'd be really awesome, and no. So, it seems like it's just boring all the way around, as far as World War II anyway. You know, if they go ahead and go to different wars like we were talking about the last week, that'll be cool, but as much as I love Modern Warfare 2, I would still say the whole fucking thing is overhyped. It doesn't really matter. They'll still make more war games one way or the other, regardless of whose studio it is. So
all I know, I'm going to say 2 things, and one's going to make Gunsage smile and stuff.
I'm already smiling.
EA LA and DICE have got to be shitting themselves in happiness over this with their Medal of Honor reboot, because all this does is add chaos to the market. It's making me really go, okay, the COD franchise is over. I need something else. Until the IW guys come back from the grave with another studio. You know, it's looking like Medal of Honor may be the next hot ticket. It cannot be hurting DICE and EALA's feelings at all to hear all this chaos going on. Agree, Patrick? Disagree?
Moo! That's all I gotta say.
Gunsage, same thing.
Well, obviously the listeners can't see what I wrote. I said, the Mario cow must have some serious hormones, if that's the case. And the Sonic cow is probably a bull, which is why all the new Sonic games leave a weird taste in your mouth.
Are you saying that applies to most franchises after a while?
Yeah, I mean, I understand they want to be kind of safe and do the same thing over and over again, but it does get old, you know? It's a refreshing change of pace to try something new every so often. I don't know.
The other thing I want to say, and this is the thing that's going to make Gunsage smile, is I want to make a general announcement to Bungie. Pay attention, because this is coming for your Halo series. As a matter of fact, I've seen a couple articles this week basically talking about how I don't know if we need any more Halo after Reach. And you Halo fanboys had better be paying close goddamn attention to this, because Halo is getting to the same point in its life cycle as a franchise, and I can see this same thing happening to the Halo franchise, because Microsoft's not much better than Activision. So I just wanted to give our weekly little chill up the Halo fanboys' backs with that one. because it could happen to you next.
Oh, definitely.
Well, my pants are down.
I'm doing the Halo. Yes. I knew you were going to... Somebody get me a towel. I knew you were going to start humming the Final Fantasy theme song. I knew it was coming.
To be fair, that was the Chocobo theme.
That's even better. You sick freak.
Which means I was thinking of furries.
I know, that's why I called you a sick freak. Do the donkeys on your own time. Yeah, Gunsage and the Donkey Show. Hey, that could be a new show all itself. But no, seriously though, if you stop and think about it, as long as the Halo franchise has been around, I mean, after Reach, you know, I could see that one starting to slide downhill, which in a way is a good thing because it'll force somebody to come up with something new. I'm happy kind of to see that. It sucks for the guys at Infinity Ward right now. I think they're going to end up being the winners of this Battle Royal at the end of the day. They did it to 2015. I think they're going to do it again. You know, although Bobby Kotick's probably about the closest thing on earth to the devil himself, so I'm not going to say that's in the bag, but we'll see. So unless you gentlemen have anything else to say, we managed to do that in only about 35 minutes. That's pretty impressive considering the amount of shit I had to read this week to even get it ready for the show.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. Oh, I'm sure next week there'll be more.
Fur was flying everywhere. Yeah, I think this is only part one of the cow hitting the helicopter. I think part two will come next week. Let's move on to another story, which is going to cause just as much ranting. Patrick, since you're the one that started me on it, why don't you fill us in on the hilarity going on over IGN's Battlefield Bad Company 2 review? Hey, look, more shooter news.
Basically, what's happened is IGN, which is, of course, one of the biggest gaming sites there is, whether you like them or not, they have a ton of content and probably the most hits and the most views of any website relating to games. They, of course, did a review of a game that I was talking about earlier on in the program, Battlefield Bad Company 2. And there's been a lot of talk back and forward amongst a lot of the losers on the internet, you know, which is better. We sort of went into it earlier. I was joking about it mostly. The difference, you know, is Call of Duty better? Is Battlefield Bad Company 2 better? Whatever. So basically what happened is one of the reviewers here on IGN gave the game an 8.9 out of 10. And, you know, that's a pretty darn good score. It's, you know, what would that be if that was a friggin' mark at college or university? I mean, that's like an A- for the game, you know? And what happened next was a whole bunch of idiots just went crazy over it. They just didn't appreciate this person's opinion. They didn't think that an 89% is an acceptable score for their beloved video game. And they even went as far to, as if you can imagine, create an online petition petitioning that this score is too low and that this reviewer should not review the game because he apparently likes Call of Duty better. So it's rather hilarious. When I found this, I sent the news over to Bruce, and Bruce was really starting to vent on it, and he was getting really upset. Seriously, it's someone's opinion, first of all. It's a good score, second of all. And where do these little turds come off thinking their opinion is better and they should make an online petition complaining about it? What do you guys have to think about the reaction to the 8.9 out of 10 score from IGN for Battlefield Bad Company 2?
Well, first off, they're now officially known as 5chan. That, I'm sorry we screwed you up for reading that one. We got the fucking around in text chat. I couldn't get far enough in the comments without wanting to punch my monitor. Do you have a handy link to the online petition by chance? If you don't, no big deal.
No, it was somewhere near the beginning of the, when I first looked at it. So near some of the, I don't have a link.
But you did click on the petition page. This thing is a real thing that.
Yeah, it's real, yep.
Oh, God. Okay, Gunsage, why don't you go first? Because I actually have notes on what I want to say. Scary, I know.
Well, this. Okay, a while back, Jim went ahead and posted a review, and this is the only mentioning I'm going to give to him, because he is dead.
He gave good a review. Call, now we're doing cross-show jokes, idiot. Yeah.
He gave a review about Assassin's Creed 2, and it was just a ridiculously low score. And at the time, I was like, oh my god, he really fucking... And then I stopped myself, and I was like, why am I pissed? Whatever, it's his opinion, I bought the game brand new, and I don't really give a shit. What am I going to do, take it back and go... I gotta return this. Jim got pissed with the fucking game. I can't play this. I can't do it. This game sickens me now. Well, were you enjoying it before? Well, that was a different me, you know? I mean, ultimately, what it comes down to is, I understand, there's a lot of people that want to go ahead and, you know, rate their buying decisions via some reviewer or whatever, which is fine, but ultimately, it's hilarious, because it's like, if you haven't played the game, how are you going to go ahead and comment on it, number one? And if you have played the game and you liked it more, okay, that was one person's opinion. Go ahead and voice your own opinion. That's the whole point of the comments. Or you can go ahead and make your own blog and do your own thing. That's fine, too. But, yeah, it just doesn't make any sense why you would go ahead and go off like that. That's why I went ahead and wrote the one article about, okay, so people have opinions. Holy shit, you know?
Yep.
Not that big of a deal, you know? I'm sure some people think Final Fantasy VII is the worst goddamn game ever made, and they're fucking retarded, but that's fine.
Okay. I wasn't kidding. I made notes because I knew I'd never remember it all. I'm going to do this in order, well, in the order I decided to come up with. First off, U-Tools, flipping out over an 8.9. In general, I don't even care if you compare it to other shooters. Wrongly, I might add. An 8.9? Shut up. Just shut the fuck up. You just shut up. You have no business whining. If they'd given it a 5, or long live the dead Sterling, given it a 4.5, which would have been hilarious. Yeah, okay. But like Gunsight said, start your own shitty goddamn Google blog where nobody has to look at you. I couldn't even get 100 comments into this before I was raging. Idiots. Second thing, because of the vehicles, I really have a hard time comparing these two. I know that seems a little ridiculous, but really, I mean, Modern Warfare 2 was not built around vehicles. Not too many of the COD franchises are. 5, they tried it. Eh. Or Battlefield, the series, has always been more set on soldiers and vehicles. You know, so it's a little, I don't know, it's, you can compare them, but it's just seems a little off to me, I suppose. Other thing that kind of pissed me off about this was people were whining in the comments about, well, with all the glitches and hacks, you know, Modern Warfare 2 should have got like a 7. Well, here's the thing, morons. The glitches and hacks are thanks to your fellow gamers, not thanks to Infinity Ward, not thanks to the guy who reviewed it several weeks before glitches and hacks were even anywhere near being on the internet. So to bring that bullshit up is just cheap. Which we all know, commenters are idiots and they're cheap anyway. And I won't even get into the long-winded rant of comparing Battlefield Bad Company 1 to the original COD Modern Warfare and how it's so much, the original Bad Company was so much better than the original Modern Warfare. Yeah, no. Don't think so, Sparky. I played them both. Not even close. Okay, I'm done ranting. Anything you gentlemen would like to add to all that shit that I just went nuts about?
89% is a very good score for a game. I mean, that's an A-. It's damn good. IGN, I mean, I'm not in, I usually don't defend IGN. I like some of their podcasts. Not as great as ours, of course, but they don't deserve this ridiculous amount of garbage coming from these probably 14-year-old kids. You know, if you don't like a score, you don't like a score. But give me a break. You know, maybe if the reviewer scored this game, Battlefield Bad Company 2, a 6.2, and then he gave Call of Duty a 9.5, there might be some concern about this reviewer's methods, his biases, whatever. But they're both good scores. You know, the reviewer probably liked COD a little bit better. And you know what? Maybe he's right. Screw the petitions. I think that he's dead on. It's his opinion, you know? People, get over it. Get over your petitions. It's ridiculous.
Well, there was one other thing brought up with on top of this whole petition thing, and when you said his opinion is what made me think of it. There was a few idiot commenters making the case that only fans of series and only people who like series or certain genres and this and that should be the ones reviewing games. And so if they don't like the series, they shouldn't review it. Doesn't that seem to you guys a little too easy for there to be a puff piece review, not a critical review? Or at this point, with as ridiculous as reviews get and how people are going to bitch no matter what, does it even matter anymore?
Well, you know, for a while at IGN, and I'm just using them as an example, obviously, I didn't understand why certain people reviewed certain things. Because it didn't seem like for a while, especially in like the 90s, they really had people that were specifically supposed to be targeting certain types of games. So basically, you'd have people that they're used to going ahead and reviewing, like, you know, like role-playing games, and they're having to review sports games and shit. And it's like, that doesn't work. That's like me going ahead and trying to review the newest Madden game and going, well, it's a football game, so, you know, you play football and stuff, and the controls are all right, I guess, and it's pretty, you know. I mean, basically, that's what it was coming down to for a while, because it was just one of those things where it wasn't really specialized. On the same token, deliberately getting someone where it's like, oh, yeah, I love the Final Fantasy series. I want to rate the next Final Fantasy. It's like from the gate, it's like you're deliberately just stacking the deck. You might get an honest review out of them, but honestly, what it's going to come down to is, yeah, they're going to be thorough, but it's going to be fanboy spunk all over the goddamn thing. It's going to be hard to differentiate one way or the other whether it's an honest review. I mean, whenever Final Fantasy 13 comes out and literally less than a week, obviously I'm going to give it a good review unless I absolutely hate it, but that's kind of the whole point. It's best to go ahead and get a more objective review from someone who, yeah, they like RPGs in general. It's not necessarily their favorite, but, you know, whatever. So it's kind of hard to establish a happy medium because you need someone who likes the genre but who isn't necessarily a fanboy of the series.
Right, no, I totally agree with that. It'd be stupid to, like, have Carlos give a serious review of Halo Reach. So
we should do that.
Actually, yeah, we should have him write it. Yep.
I do a counterpoint.
Right, exactly.
Like, it's gay.
Yeah, just one big, giant, fonted, it's gay. You are right, though. I misspoke a little bit in that, yeah, I'd like them to at least enjoy the genre. You're right. I mean, having an RPG guy do sports games would be stupid. Patrick, what are your thoughts on this overall, the whole fanboy angle?
I don't know. I'm done with all these stupid little 14-year-old kids petitioning over everything. In a way, it's good to have to like the game that you're reviewing. You know, in the reviews that I've written, I've never written a really bad one because I don't want to play a bad game. But at the same time, you gotta have some sort of unbiasedness. You gotta meet it somewhere in the middle. You can't have a fanboy reviewing whatever game it is. You know, a guy who loves football, loves Madden, probably shouldn't be writing the review for it. But at the same time, you don't wanna have someone like Gunsage doing it. So, it's hard to do. I think fanboys on the internet need to just take a really, really nice warm cup of shut the hell up.
God, I wish that were the case. I wish that we could do that. It ain't gonna happen. Okay, I think that's enough about shooters. Let's move on to a story that on any other week, although I don't think so personally, would have been the lead-in story for any podcast, and that is by the by now famous global lockdown of pre-2009 PS3s. Basically what happened was a couple 3 days ago, all of the old pre-2009 PS3s locked up. You couldn't load games, you couldn't log on, your trophies and all that other fun shit was screwed up. People went semi-nuts, really nuts if you are a Twitter user, and it turned out to be a firmware update or a firmware problem with the leap year. Pretty simple, happens to a lot of things. I remember it happening to PCs, some PCs on a few occasions. I really didn't see this as being a huge story. Sucked for those people for 24 hours until Sony figured out what was going on. They firmwared it. It's working now. I'm not really seeing this as a huge, huge problem. How about you, Patrick? What do you think of this whole
LOL Sony sucks? Ah, ha, ha.
Yeah.
No, honestly, at first when I heard about it, I heard about it on, believe it or not, of all things, Facebook. And then I went and I looked around, and I think there was a lot of panic at first because people didn't know it. What I heard about it was it only affected the PlayStation Fat, the original big fat ones, and it didn't affect, apparently, the newer, slimmer models. And a lot of people were pissed off, but word spread like wildfire, of course, through Twitter and the internet and even Facebook, as I mentioned. And I think a lot of people who had these PlayStation Fast just stayed off, turned them off, left them off. So I was talking with a friend of mine, and he was like, well, I didn't even know what happened because I didn't have any games to play. So, you know, I think they made a mountain out of a molehill, although I have heard that if you had any trophies that disappeared, you're going to have to go through the game and re-earn them. So that's a bit of a pain in the ass, but overall, I think it wasn't as bad of a problem as the media or the blogs or Twitter made it out to be.
You know? Well, yeah, the trophy thing's only the end of the world if you're an achievement whore like Gunsage, but
yeah.
Speaking of guns, Age, what do you think about the PS3 meltdown extravaganza?
Sup, bitches. PS triple. It would definitely be a pain in the ass if I had to go through and re-earn shit, but honestly, I hadn't even heard about this story. Probably on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, out from under a rock half the time. But, yeah. It doesn't seem like it's really been that big of a deal. Speaking of shooters, I've also been trying to play PO'd, and I will not play it ever again.
Where did that come from?
Well, you said shooters at the beginning of this, because you said that's enough about shooters.
Oh, so you're just trying to aggravate me now. Okay. Fair enough. I expect that. No, I'm kidding. No, here's the thing about this whole PO'd. I thought you said BO at first. I'm like, well, yeah, body odor is a problem. Here's the thing. I think that we are so preconditioned to hardware fuck-ups, from the old PS2 problems to the world-renowned Xbox 360 meltdowns, that I think people expected this to be another a big, big issue. And it turned out to be much to do about nothing. You know, you remember you sent me the text from Xbox Live last night saying, are we going to talk about this?
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to talk about it, but it's like, what do you say here? It's really a non-story. It's a software screw-up. They fixed it. I think the only people that got any, and I haven't even seen any, didn't bother to go look. I think the only people that got any satisfaction out of it were the hardcore Xbox 360 per life tattooed up fanboys who are probably going, see, the PS3's just got as many problems as the Xbox. You know, it blew up on Twitter and Facebook and a few blogs for a couple hours, and then it was kind of like, oh, it's a firmware problem. Big fucking deal. Leap year screwed them up. Would I have enjoyed it if Sony ended up getting some of what Microsoft has gotten? Only to the point of watching some of the diehard PS3 fanboys have to slit their wrists, but really, I'd rather not see anybody have any hardware issues, personally.
No.
Yes, Gunsage, do you have something to add?
Nope.
Hello there, Bruce McGee. There was a story here. Didn't really like the way it turned out, so now there's not. So now we're skipping forward to Gamer Dick and such stuff. Bye.
Patrick's now Gamer Dick for this week, since I don't have one. No, I'm
kidding. I'm podcast dick, get it right.
Yeah. Actually, I'm about ready to label the entire game industry, from freaking publishers to dev teams to the media to the fans to the consumers as dicks.
Yep. Pretty
be
much
done with it.
You know, maybe those Nintendo fanboys have it right after all. Who needs to be interacting with everyone? Let's all play single player, and there'll be a lot less gamer dicks.
Do you guys have any gamer dicks for this week?
I don't. Oh,
you don't either, Guns. Don't do it 3 weeks in a row.
No, I don't. I really don't this time.
To do a gamer dick like segment, I do have to admit, playing single player Torchlight all week was kind of a refreshing change.
Yeah.
Over most of our normal weeks, I have to admit, there is some aspect sometimes of multiplayer gaming that does tend to get a little old. And to be honest, that may be some of my lack of enthusiasm for jumping right into Battlefield Bad Company, and reading that IGN review really didn't help me any. There's something to be said for that, I think. As much as we rail on here about dicks week in and week out, yeah, sometimes taking a minute to, play some single player and kind of get unplugged from the whole multiplayer experience isn't such a bad thing. Do you gentlemen agree, disagree? Patrick, you go first since you were asleep the last round.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I mean, I definitely think that single player gaming has its place, and the more and more friggin' dicks we come across, the more and more I think multiplayer gaming is almost only good when you're in a private party with your friends ignoring everyone else. And even then, you're still playing with these guys who are cheating and who are doing this and that. And, you know, like I said, maybe some of these Nintendo fanboys know what they're talking about. I'm always dissing the Wii because of lack of online, but, you know, there comes a time when there's just so many gamer dicks that you want to play single player. That's for sure.
Gun say, yeah. Agree, disagree.
At the end of the day, I play a lot of RPGs. A lot.
Wait.
Yeah.
Sorry, I could not.
I've never hopped into the MMORPG thing because I've never understood the point. I'm just like, I don't play an RPG to play with other people. I play RPGs to get the fuck away from everyone. Jesus Christ. But that's my whole point. I don't know. I've always loved the first person, single player perspective.
Person perspective.
Exactly. I've always loved the first person perspective. You have no idea what it's like going ahead and looking at myself on a camera and trying to maneuver. It's awful. But no.
Oh, shit. That was a good Freudian slip, though. That was good.
Yeah. I've always loved the single player perspective just because at that point, it's you and the game, and that's it. Even if the game's being an absolute shitbag as far as the difficulty or whatever, okay, but it's you and the game. It's not other people that are being dick faces. And even if you're in a pretty civil match, you know, all right, you know, you don't have the whining gamers, you don't have the screeching gamers, you don't have, maybe everybody has their goddamn mics off, whatever, and they're playing pretty decently. You still have the inadequacies as far as skill levels. You still have the guys that are the snipers, the guys that are, you know, the noobs, the guys that, whatever, that just jump the fuck around or just spin around in circles because they can or some dumb shit. You still have the motherfuckers that you just cannot stand playing with, whether they're sitting right next to you or they're sitting in fucking Australia or some shit. So it's almost comforting playing with something artificial rather than something realistic, because at that point it's like, okay, but I'm playing a game. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's me and the game and that's it.
Right.
That, and I hate people, so there you go.
Let me ask you guys something, though. That just brought up a thought in my head. I was really kind of done with multiplayer gaming until I sent Patrick a friend request and started playing with him a pinch in Gears of War 2 and the end of COD. I was kind of getting tired of it. One thing that's kind of made it nice for me is the party system, and that Pat's a lot of fun to play with, and you and Pinch, and God help me, you and Carlos. But at the same time, it seems the developers are doing everything they can to fuck over anybody in a party. It happened in Battlefield 43 this year. It happened with Modern Warfare 2 this year. I don't know about Battlefield Bad Company yet. Do you think the devs are going to have to give up because a lot of people like us are tired of having to listen to every third idiot scream fag on his mic?
I don't think so. I think it's just going to come down to, shit, they talked about this in depth on, I'm going to have to find that article. There was this really awesome cracked article talking about the internet's going to die, and here's the reasons why.
Oh, God, I believe that.
Well, it was more or less talking about what you were saying as far as just gamers being assholes, and in general, people on forums being assholes, just because they can be, because there's no sense of community in X, Y, and Z, and so on. But basically, my issue is, okay, so you play with a few people that you like, and everybody else is, you know, you got some people that are being civil, some people don't even have their mics on, and there's some people that are just being complete fucking cockbags. Every time they get killed, even when they don't, can't fucking hold their guns straight, you know, they have no business playing the game at all. But the fact that they went ahead and have a console, have an internet connection, have the subscription, have the game, have the mountain loads of fucking Duckburg cash to buy all this shit, you know, they're entitled to go ahead and play it. I think, honestly, it's going to come down to, they need to have a more regimented system. I think Microsoft went in the right direction as far as leaving player reviews, but then you'll have shit like, I can't remember if it was someone from this party or, no, that's right. One of my former coworkers was banned for a couple of days from Xbox Live because he's like a really awesome sniper in Modern Warfare 2.
Right.
Yeah. He was playing against a clan and they could have sworn he was cheating. And he's like, I'm not cheating. I happen to know the sniper spots and I'm moving between them. They're like, no, dude, you're cheating. You're fucking cheating. You're full of shit. You're fucking cheating. He's like, no, dude, I'm not cheating. Look at my level. Look at how long I've been playing this. I'm not cheating. I was this good in the first one, and I'm this good in this one. And every single last one of the people on that group gave him the same negative feedback and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So he got suspended.
No, they turned him in for cheating. Getting negative review on, I'd have been banned a long time ago.
But see, that's the problem, though. Because a group of people stepped forward, he had no say in the matter.
Right. So basically what you're trying to say is you think that because this is just ultimately spinning out of control with dicks, you think the devs will continue to try and ignore the party chat system.
Well, I think they're going to have to address that at some point just because it's a general, you know, development competency issue, if anything. But on the same token, I think it's going to come down to just as far as they've got to get a better rating system and everything else in place. They're going on the right path as far as all this goes. I just don't think they're there yet completely.
Okay. Patrick, do you think the devs will finally give up, acknowledge the party system? Sorry.
I don't. That's okay. I don't even know if maybe there's some problem with coding with Xbox Live or something, because I was, you know, you were saying you're not sure what happened and what's going to be happening in Battlefield Bad Company 2. Well, let me tell you, I was in a party with one other person yesterday, and we started the game, well, in a party first, then we loaded up the game, the two of us. Then I invited him to my squad, and there's only two of us, and then we went into a game, and we ended up on different teams. I mean, it was ridiculous. So I'm almost thinking that there's a problem, or an issue, or a challenge, some reason that they're having problems, because they're splitting up the parties, and I don't see why they are. It's kind of
weird. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me, after all the bitching, and all the blog posts of that happening in Battlefield 43, they didn't fix it.
It was our second game playing, and yeah, I mean, and we started together. It wasn't like I joined him in progress or he joined me. I understand.
Right.
That happens because maybe your team is full, and if
right.
you want to play the same game, you have to be on the opposing team. When we joined up together, we loaded up our games together, we went into the game together, we entered a squad together, and when we played, we ended up on different teams, and both teams weren't full, so it could have easily put us on the same thing, and so yeah, it happened.
Well, here's the thing, both teams may not have been full, but one could have been unbalanced, and one thing EA does do... I'm not sure if this addresses the Modern Warfare 2 problem, but one thing EA has always done is make sure that the teams are balanced number for number. Here's my problem with it. I am not a coder, but you cannot convince me, at least right now with the information I have or have read, that it would be really difficult to code some kind of algorithm or script or whatever to recognize that these players are in a party and either return them to the lobby or just leave them on the same team. It cannot be that bloody difficult, because that's what's happening. EA's Battlefield series already has a built-in balancer that just randomly puts people places. That's why you're getting split up. But come on, dude. The party system is part of Xbox Live. It's been part of Xbox Live since the NXE update. Stop being dicks and just recognize it and make it, because Gunsage has a valid point in that... In general, you give a person an internet connection and anonymity, they're going to be a shitbag. I mean, that's, you know, Gabe of Penny Arcade and Tycho
yep.
drew a beautiful, I mean, yep. I love that. I wish they'd put that on a t-shirt. I'd wear it every day. I'd buy 50 of them, you know. But I truly see this party system, if done right, and the developers will quit being lazy bastards about it, as being a way to mitigate that issue. Am I wrong, Gunsage? Do you think it'd be that hard to code a goddamn script that tells them we're in a party? Quit splitting us up.
Well, here's the problem. You could argue that it's an issue of, well, maybe they just got their wires crossed as far as the servers, as far as, you know, as far as, well, the Xbox Live party. Well, this is how it should operate. Well, you're able to go ahead and do this, that, and the other, but not this. But the problem is, okay, I'm not a programmer for these guys. I'm not a programmer for Xbox Live, but at the same time, it's like, but should it really be that hard to figure out? This is something you should have known going into it. This is server information you should have known. You know, even if you're going ahead and going from a PC-based thing, okay, so how does it work on the PC then? You know, do you have this going on as far as the PC? Do you have it where you can specifically have your friends list on Steam join people on the PC? Well, if you can do that properly, why can't you do it on Xbox Live? You know, it's that, but then it's also, if you're already in a party and everything like that, you should already have different preferences set up. That's not hard. Fuck, you can do that with SQL.
That's what I thought. See, I didn't think this was like fucking rocket science trying to figure this out.
Huh.
And what pisses me off even more is EA knows gamers were bitching about it during Battlefield 1943. Patrick and I found forums and posts written about it when we were having issues with it in BF43. And yet they let Battlefield Bad Company get out the door with the same fucking issue? I'm not amused about this now. I don't, you know, it's like, really? So I might get to play with Patrick and Carlos sometime. I mean, it's funny when Carlos ends up on the other team, but... but that's just a general rule. I'm changing our slogan. Gentlemen, remember our slogan was it's only funny when it's us doing it? I'm adding to it. It's only funny when it happens to Carlos.
Yep.
I don't know. You could, again, debate this issue about gamer dicks and how to fix the internet experience over and over. But, hell, Gabe and Tycho did that Penny Arcade comic, I think, like in 99 or 2000, and yeah. It hasn't changed in a decade. I don't think it's going to.
Well, they were more or less talking about internet forums, but the rule still applies.
Oh, God, it applied to Ventrilo and shit, yeah. COD1 way. And even then, at least you had to push a button to talk, yeah. You know, so somebody could talk. The practice used to be in the Ventrilo servers I frequented is if some doofus starts screaming and hollering shitcock and all that, you hold down your mic button and talk over them until they give up. And, I mean, we used to take turns just talking over certain dirtbags. And at least with a Ventrilo server, you could kick them. You know, you only did that until somebody could kick them. It's an interesting thing to discuss, and we didn't have any gamer dicks this week. And if you gentlemen have had enough, I'll give the email address, and then we'll wrap this bad boy up.
I'm done.
You done? All right. Patrick's done. Gunsage is done. I will give you an email address, and then we are done. You want to comment on any of this stuff we went over? I know we had to piss somebody off with all this crap. Send it to morphinenation23@gmail.com. morphinenation23@gmail.com. Until episode 10, I will see you fine peoples later. We're out.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Both of you are going to do the silent treatment this week. Hate over. Both of you.
Woo! Show's over!
We're free. Yeah. We're free of Bruce McGee for another week. Run. Run for the fucking hills.
Low five.
Yeah, you and Patrick doing that. We're out of here.
Hello, Cleveland!
Yeah.
No, I'm good. Thanks, guys.